If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Winner's Circle. I'm Derek, and with me, you might see on the screen right here, we have Emmett Blois from BB Can. I know it's been a while since you've heard from us. Cody's out doing a special project right now. I've been working on my other project, which is obviously Crime Weekly, but also Criminal Coffee. So I'll put a link for that in the bottom. Came out with my own coffee company. I won't bore you with the details here, but if you like coffee and you like true crime, you should check it out. Emmett, what's going on, brother? Long time no see. It's been a couple of weeks since you've been on the Winner's Circle, so you're already back.
Yeah, back and happy to, you know, share what, you know, just to recap the BB Can season, you know, because it's over now. And yeah, just a quick question. Do you watch the finale, I take it?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
And were you surprised?
I wasn't. I was surprised that Josh was willing to take Kevin. But I think it kind of goes back to my season where everyone was very surprised that Cody took me. But as you can attest to, when you're in there, it's completely different. You don't know what the other person is doing other than what you've experienced yourself. You don't see the three-dimensional element of their game and how deep it really goes. I thought Josh had a really strong ending to the season. But unfortunately, Kevin just socially had a way better game. Strategically, he was making moves. He had good jury management. And unfortunately for Josh, he didn't find that out until, you know, after it was already too late.
Yeah, I was surprised that how much the jury loved Kevin, because Kevin was, you know, realistically responsible for the majority of their evictions, and they were a bit of a bitter jury. So I was surprised all the hate went to Josh, but you know, it was a good finale.
Kevin did that old classic move where when you tell everyone what you did at the end, his last final speech that he gave there was awesome, but he did that old classic move where you basically compliment everyone. Listen, mm-hmm. I voted you out, but only because you were better than I was. Who cares if you say that right now? They're in the jury. They can't beat you anyway. So it's just like, you know, I couldn't beat you. You're a better player than me. That's why you're out. So it kind of like validates them as a player where they're like, yeah, you're right. I would have beat you if I was there. But thank you for the compliment. I'm going to give you my vote now.
Yeah, it fucking worked. He Josh only got one vote. You know, and
he smoked him. Honestly, it was only it was Betty.
I think overall Kevin was a much better player, but I do think Josh, I thought the votes would have been a little closer because, you know, he did kind of beast it out there in the end. I think Josh kind of won out a lot, was responsible for a lot of evictions later on in the game, but just the jury management, man, comes out of jury management. People got to like it because, you know, you can play a perfect game.
It was my season.
Play yeah. a perfect game, but if people don't like you, they're not going to vote for you.
No, it was my season all over again. My season played out almost exactly this way with, you know, Josh being Cody and me being Kevin, where near the end, Cody was just crushing competitions. He won the final veto. He won part one of the HOH. Then he won part three. Like, he just came on strong. And if you would have just, you know, take into consideration the last half of the season or even the last, like, quarter of the season, it's all Cody. But that jury management, how you're making people feel, the relationships you're establishing, and then the ability to articulate what you did in that jury speech where they're asking you questions. How do you handle them? Josh did not have very good answers. He really didn't. And I do think people kind of went in there, especially with this jury, like knowing who they were going to vote for. But Kevin just put all of their reservations at ease with how much he crushed Josh in those final speeches. Like, he was very certain. You could tell he had dreamt about that moment for years, and he was ready with those answers. He was ready with that final speech where Josh was kind of like, wow, this kid played a completely different game than I understood.
Yeah. And again, I think we're, you know, from us sitting out here and watching, and again, you know, as well as I do, being in the house is totally different. Josh just didn't know what was going on behind the scenes at all. And I think, looking back and watching it, if he had known, would he have taken Betty? What do you think? Yeah, because I don't think he would have beat Betty either. I don't think he would have beat Betty either.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, he had a pretty strong. Kevin had a way better game than Betty, and he was able to articulate that. I actually think Josh wins if he takes Betty. I think
he gets the jury votes.
Yeah, I mean, I know she was liked.
Like, I don't fully understand it, you know? Like, I didn't fully understand all the hate for Josh, you know? Like, there was a lot for some reason. He was very disliked when it came down to handing out, you know, winner votes. So I didn't see him getting it against Betty either. But, you know, when he decided to take Kevin, I was just like, well, he's definitely not going to win now. I was a little shocked, but I also felt like in my season, I was sitting there and Gary cut me to take Jill, which he wasn't going to beat me, was typically going to beat Jill, but that was because our jury was bitter as well. You know, everyone hated Jill. There was a lot of jury hate for her, you know, even though Gary had already been evicted and didn't really do a whole lot. But people hated Jill so much that they would rather not vote than give a vote to her, you know. But, yeah, I don't know.
What was that? That one person that who voted wrong on your season? Somebody literally cast the vote for the wrong person.
And it was the first, you know, because the whole season long, you're voting for who you want to lose, right? You go into the diary room and I want this person out of the house, right? So she has this mentality going into the finale and be like, I don't want this person to win, you know? And then puts Jill's name down, but ultimately ends up winning Jill the game, which is kind of funny.
Anybody who doesn't know BB Can, because I know there's a lot of people on here who don't know Big Brother Canada. What was that jury member's name? I'm sorry. I should know her name. I don't remember it.
Topaz. Yeah, Topaz Brady.
Topaz. So, you know, what Emmett's saying actually happened. It was a very close vote. There was a woman by the name of Topaz who goes up there. She puts her card in the, you know, slot for the winner, and she thinks she's voting who not to win. So she puts Jill's card in there. And it was like this huge thing, like on live TV, where Arissa reads it and then Topaz realizes, like, oh, wait, no, I voted for the wrong person. I want to change my vote. And Arissa's like, sorry, you can't. And Topaz literally gets out of her seat, walks up to Arissa's like begging on live TV to change her vote. And the worst part about it is what Emmett just said. Literally, Jill won by one vote. Like, Gary would have won if it wasn't for that mishap. So it's like, it's all-time television, not like U.S. television, like all-time international television. If you haven't seen it, look up BB Can 1, Topaz Vote, whatever. It'll pop right up. That's how I saw it. and and it was unbelievable. And then I had to go back and watch the whole season. That's where I saw your season. I was like, dude, if this is what the finale was like, I got to watch the season. And your season was very good. But that moment in and of itself, like instant BB can classic.
Yeah, it was crazy too. Because actually when I get out, I was sitting in the jury members waiting for everyone to vote. And I looked back and Andrew from my season, I knew he would vote for Jill. He just kind of shook his head at me. And I was like, what? Like, you know, like I walked to the house being like, all right, Gary, like I'm gone, but you're not, there's no way these people are going to vote for you to win because you've already been evicted. You haven't done fuck all. So, and then he looked at me and he just shook his head. And right then I knew, I looked at Peter and Peter wouldn't even look at me in the eye. And he was still so upset from how we got rid of him from the house that he, you know, he had kind of, him and Alec had kind of turned everyone against him. But like, I don't know, bygones, bygones, it's all good. But it just goes to show that, you know, there is, it's very real for people, you know, they very, it, the vote does become very emotional. I think Kevin did a great job of, you know, making sure that he pumped everyone's tires before they casted that vote, even though I'm pretty sure it was all done before that happened. But
yeah, he had it in his bag. And it's been a little while since the finale, so we're not going to recap the whole thing. But as someone who I consider one of the best players to ever play BB Can, where do you have Kevin? I know some of the things that are out there right now, they're saying he's potentially the best player to ever play BB Can, hands down. So where do you lie on that? And I, you know, you can be Switzerland if you want, but where do you rank him amongst the best players of all time when it comes to BB Can, Big Brother, you know, big BB Can history?
Yeah. I think he's definitely up there. Is he one number one? I don't, probably not number one. I don't think he's the most well-rounded, but I think that he is one of those people in the house that, he did a lot of damage with his words. You know, he didn't have to do a whole lot. And for someone who can do as much damage as he did without physically doing anything, that is someone who is a great player. So for me, he's definitely up there. Can he go in and do it again? I think going back again, he'd have to be a little more physical because everything came out of his mouth next time around. Everyone like, oh, this guy's full of shit. You know, yeah, I do think Kevin is one of the best just because he did so much damage with his words. But I think he was also in there with house guests that I don't know. It was a different breed of house guests this year. They were all so concerned with getting each other out. There was no teamwork. You know what I mean? So he was in an environment where everyone was versus everyone. So he was able to make of small communications with people that didn't go to anyone else. No one ever connected the dots and was like, because everyone, there was no big teams that were like collaborating together. I think that really kind of helped him. But another thing too, it's like, and you can probably attest to this, when people come and talk to me, I don't care what it's about. It could be asking me what I'm having for breakfast. The first thing that comes to my mind is, what does this person get out of this conversation?
Yeah.
And I just didn't see a lot of that this year. It's like, again, it doesn't matter what you want to talk about. It's first thing that's going through my head is I'm listening to you, but I'm like, what do you get out of this?
What's the agenda?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we can have a conversation, but at the same time, it's like, and I think if people had stopped and thought about this when Kevin was having conversations with him, it's like, oh, you know, what is Kevin getting out of this? What is Kevin getting out of this? And then I think they could have sat back and was like, oh, you know, like, see what he's doing, you know what I mean? He's talking about this person and he's, you know, highlighting it and he's trying to get me to talk about them, so he must want something, he must want them to go, you know what I mean? There just wasn't a lot of that, but I just think he played a phenomenal game. I think he was great and he'll be one of the best for sure for a long, long time.
I agree. I completely agree. And I'll even say that when you start like the metric and the measurement of like the competition he played against, it's such a slippery slope because a lot of these times it's their first, their players, it's their first time. That happened a lot on my season too, where everyone's like, oh, well, the competition on your season wasn't that great. It's like, ultimately, every season of Big Brother is different. You could judge it however you want to judge it, but as far as putting his season in a vacuum where all of those players were on the first time being in there and them all having an equal shot, right? Like, if to be fair, Kevin at the beginning of the season, I did not expect him to go far. I was like, he's on the outside of like him and like, he's like with the nobodies. He's like two of three people and he got these two big alliances and he's on his way out. And he just completely turned it around. He kept looking for those cracks. He kept working different sides of the aisle. He kept working Marty, who was kind of in with people. And he slowly progressed where he just chipped away at people. And every week it was always about, how do I keep taking out one side or the other to make them weaker so they're not looking at me? And he just methodically did that all season. So there's a lot of credit to it. And I do think he's one of the best ever play. But just like many other players that were very good their first time around, I think it's a challenge for someone like him who can't just go in there and win every competition. Like someone like Cody, someone like yourself, you can dictate your length in the game a little bit longer because you have an ability to win every competition. But with Big Brother, you can only win you can't win back-to-back HOHs. It's not Survivor. So you really got to not only win HOH, but then get lucky with a token draw or however you guys do it on Canada. You guys don't do the token. Yeah, you do. You do.
Yeah,
you,
they draw.
You draw. So it's like, it's just pure luck at that point. So I do think you would have a challenge though, because, you know, for the same reasons I would, like going back in there, nobody's going to trust a word he has to say, but I definitely think he's up there as one of the greats. I know that you attended the finale party afterwards. There were some alumni there. It seems like it was a really good time. It's kind of COVID's letting up in Canada a little bit, so you guys could get out. How was it? What was it like out there without sharing any the behind the scenes stuff that goes on with these reality events? How was it for you? How was it with everybody else? How were the new house guests now that they've been exposed and brought back to, you know, society and they get to hear what everyone thinks about them?
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, it's been a few years since we have went to Niagara for a finale party, and it was just kind of nice to see everyone. Nice to meet the new house guests again. The kind of for them too, it's very much still very raw. So just, you know, a little quick hellos and, you know, chat about how their experience was, and maybe just like a little tidbit of advice going forward, and you know. I was really, you know, it was just nice to kind of catch up for me, like a lot of old faces that I hadn't seen in a long time, but it was a good time. And I honestly, personally, with finale, and maybe, I don't know if you did this, Derek, but I know when I go to the house, I just want to go home. I couldn't have went to finale weekend. I was just like, get me out of here. I got to go.
Yeah, I had my daughter and my wife out there, so I wanted to get out of there too, but I also had just one, so I was like, let's do our thing, you know what I mean? But I will say, to the point you made a couple minutes ago, what was nice about our season, and they do this every season, is the party that's afterwards, it's a lot of Big Brother alumni and a lot of fans, but I had the opportunity to go around and talk to all players that I, you know, was fond of and enjoyed watching. And they do exactly what you said. They give you some advice, tell you some things to look out for, maybe some house guests to watch out for, and you take it all in. You may not adhere to everything they tell you, but it's good to just take in information from all sources and then make up your own mind. But I felt like it was a nice transition from like being in the Big Brother house to being back in the real world, where there's a bunch of people there who know exactly what you're going through. So I enjoyed it as well. And I think it was great for you guys to get out there. I thought about going. You had hit me up. It was my daughter's first communion, or I probably would have went out there for the night, because I think right now we're all, like, everybody in the world is kind of in this position where we're all trying to get back to some normalcy, and any opportunity to get together and like just hang out, you know, with real people, not through Zoom. It's like, oh, we're going to play checkers. Sign me up. I'm there. I'm down. Let's do it. Like, any excuse to get out of the house. It's like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. It was a big turnout. And I think COVID had played a huge part in that, just because, first time a lot of people were getting away from home, and who doesn't want a little bit of a reason to kind of get away for a weekend and kind of it's a weird thing going through the Big Brother experience, and there's a very small select few people that can sit there and relate to it and have a conversation with you on it. So I do see that value in it coming out of the show. I mean, we were season one, so we didn't have any alumni, so it wasn't really like, it was just kind of going to the real world. Dan came into our house that year.
Yep.
So I was chatting with him because we had a wrap party and everything, and he kind of gave me some advice and helped me out after the show, which was, really great. And then, I do definitely see the value of it. And you can kind of see, I think seeing them on Friday versus a couple days later, they were in when the very, very raw, relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. On Friday, and then when I was leaving, it was a lot more relaxed and chilled. So
yeah, it's a good transition. Well, you kind of gave me a nice segue there to the final thing I wanted to talk to you about, because you and I have talked about it quickly just over the phone. But as you mentioned, you're season one, and we just finished season 10, and Kevin is now considered one of the greats to play. You have Dean. You have a lot of great players that have now come out of the Big Brother Can universe, and I personally have been hearing some rumblings about All-Stars, and I know 99.9% of it's rumors, but I'll just say from an outside spectator looking in, Big Brother US did it after season 6, and they had enough people, and Big Brother 7 was one of the best seasons we've ever had. So, you definitely have enough players now to fill a legitimate Big Brother All-Stars. Do you agree? Do you not agree? And if you do agree, do you think you have enough players to make it interesting?
I think we're at the point now where we've seen a lot of different players and people that you would, diehard, like huge fan players, fan favorites. I think there's enough of them that you could pack a house and you could make one hell of an All-Star season. Will it be next year? I don't know. I did hear a few things, that
always do.
It's just rumors, but that seems like it's every year. So will it be next year? I don't know. You can't.
If not now, when? And you know what would be great about it? Arissa, if you're watching, because I know you're big on social and you check this stuff out. Arissa, I know you got some yank. I know you're an EP. You guys are probably going to be having your first season post-COVID where you're going to have live audiences. Pay a little bit more money for the house guest, get 16 just like guaranteed W's in there and let them go at it. They don't all have to be great players. You can get like players that just bring great TV, pack that house with, like Emmett was saying, with 16, just absolute must-sees. And for season 11, let it be BB Can All-Stars. You cannot miss with that. You can't miss.
I don't think I have any problem filling the house.
You think you'd get players to go? You think, because that is a problem we have in the U.S. where, they all want more money or whatever. Like, do you think there's enough BB Cam players that would go?
I think there is. Oh, for sure. Are you going to get everyone that you want? It's hard to say. We are getting older.
Yeah.
Life is changing. Where Big Brother was once an option. Maybe it's not. Maybe someone is having kids, and the baby's just born. They just can't leave, or maybe someone's just got a brand new job or whatever it may be. So I think the longer you wait, you kind of close the door on some. But, as I said, every year there's 15, 16 new house guests. There's some few greats that emerge from each season. But we've had enough seasons now that, we've got some big names in Canada.
You do. You've got some great players.
Yeah, and I think you could – people in there that even if some of the best ones couldn't make it, you would still have a pretty dynamite season.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about it ever since we had the episode with Cody and Bruno, because we were throwing out some of the players that we would, go to head to head in the US. And I think about like a strategist like Kevin Martin against Kevin Jacobs. And then I think about you against someone like a Zach who Bruno mentioned, like those are two absolute studs, like in a competition, who's going to come out with that win. And I think about Aika and Jill and who I just forgot her name, draw a blank Netta. Here. Netta, thank you. You can almost tell, by the way, Netta, seeing her back again, the social player that she is. There's just some really good players that it would come down to if you can get them. But I will say the advantage that Big Brother Canada has is the fact that you guys are already doing a shorter season. You're doing 70 days. So yeah. You could pack it and do like 60 days and probably entice more people to go. Because I'll tell you, that was a big turn off for me. It's like, oh, they want you to go for 100 days with two kids. It's not possible. For almost anyone with a kid, it's impossible. So it's very difficult to do, but you guys have shorter seasons in general. Let me write out, would you do it? I mean, I think you're an all-star hands down. You are one of my better friends, so I'm biased as shit. I get that, but I've seen your season. I've seen the other seasons. I'd put you up against anybody in competition. So you're definitely, in my eyes, like a 100% an all-star. And they've already kind of proven that with having you back multiple times. You're good TV. Yeah. They're going to have you on. Would you consider it?
I mean, the one depends when it is. You know, I just
got you got married, some things going. Yeah. You got things going on too.
I got things going on. Yeah, you know, like I hate losing, and it just bothers me. So to be
you want that redemption. You're like Cody.
Yeah, you know, like, and I feel like when I was in, like, it was 10 years ago. I was, you know, 24, 23 years old. I was young. I'm definitely not that same guy. So, and again, like going in, I was just a fan of the show, like basically only auditioned for the show because my brother told me he watched it and he's like, oh, you should do this. And then as I start making it through casting and I'm like, oh my, these people are going to put me on this show. I start watching, and then as I'm watching, I become a fan of the show. Yep. So now over, you know, years later, watching all these seasons and, you know, watching the American seasons and getting to meet everyone and seeing the gameplays all kind of play out and stuff. Yeah, you know, I like to test it. But here's another thing, too. It's like, I think the best season is if you can get all the best players. Because let's just say if they put in, you know, they put in a couple people like a Dane or myself and like maybe like Kevin Jacobs. And then they put in a bunch of people that didn't do so well. Well, who do you think is going to get, like, you know what I mean? And then again, you do control your own fate. Like, people still have the opportunity to work with someone who is great and can benefit their game. Like, it's all, I think a great player shouldn't have to physically save themselves, but can socially do it too, because there's value in working with someone. Yeah, they're a great player, but also too, if I think there's only a few of them going, then I think it's even tougher. But if you put, like, you know, John Party and Netta and Kevin Martin and Kevin Jakes and like all these big names, and they all show up,
you gotta go.
You gotta go. Like, you want to play against the best, and then I think there's no, like.
Oh, and if you don't go, it's almost like Emmett didn't want that smoke.
You didn't want that smoke. You know what I mean? So it's like, show up or shut up. You know what I mean? And then
I've been open about it. That was, you know, it was lower on the list. Number one was Tenley. Tenley didn't want me to go. So everything after that didn't really matter. But I will say other factors were money and also the rumors of who was going and who wasn't going. And I was like, you know, this might be my only chance to play again. And I'm going to go in there against people, not saying I decide who deserves it or who doesn't, but, you know, there are certain players I would like to play against to see how I would do. And if they're not going, even if I win, then it's going to be like, well, you didn't play against so-and-so.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Give me five people who, when you go back, if you would go back, they would have to be there.
Yep, that shouldn't be too hard. So, Dan.
Yeah.
Will. Daniel Reyes. Let me go through it real quick. Dan, Will, Daniel Reyes.
Do you put Cody back in?
See, it's so weird with him because I consider him like family, like you. Like, I that would hurt me, actually. I would rather not play with him. I would rather just do it on my own. You know what I mean? Because he's won. But if I went back for that winter season, he would be there. But, you know, I would rather, like, he got the opportunity to do it on his own. But if he was there, he's not someone that has to go for me to go, because then it's like, we're going to play together. I'm never going to vote. I'm never going to cast a vote against him, no matter what you tell me he said. It's like it's a done deal, and he would do the same, but
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For me, I've always been compared to Dan and Will, so I'd like the opportunity to play against them. I actually like both of them, but I'd like to play against them. Danielle's one of the greats. I'd love to play against her. But there's really no, I don't have problems with anybody really where I'm like, I got to beat them to prove that I'm good. But I would just want Dan and Will in there because ultimately we're all equal targets. So it would level the playing field as far as everyone targeting me over everybody else when I first go in there. But also, if they beat me, then they beat me. If I finish third to them, that means I'm third best overall. But if I beat them, there's no excuses anymore. Because your boys were in there and I beat them. So it's like, if we're going to put it to rest, let's put it to rest. But that's why I think like the only chance I would go based on what you were saying earlier is like if it was an all winner season. Because that would guarantee like any of the ones that won, you're not going to be able to come back to me and be like, oh, they didn't play. So it's not, doesn't really count. Because if they don't go, like you said, if I don't go, then I'm, you know, I'm, if there's an all winner season and I don't go, I'm out of the conversation. Yes. I'm saying that now, mark it. If Dan will, if they all go and I decide, oh, I don't want to go, I got too much going on. Well, then I'm kind of excluded from the GOAT conversation because at that point I had an opportunity to play against all the other greats and I didn't go.
Well, Survivor did it. What was it last year?
Yeah.
All winners.
Yeah.
So you guys have enough seasons
to do it.
To do it.
Yeah.
They would do it?
No, because we're all greedy. We're all greedy. That's number one. And then even a bigger reason is Dan, two kids. Will, two kids. Danielle, I don't want to get into her personal business, but like she's in a relationship. She has a very, very important job out on the West Coast. I talk to her all the time. There's a lot of other people like Rachel Riley, kids. Janelle.
What about if it's a short season?
Yeah, I mean, I if it's a short season.
Short season.
Short season. A lot of money to win, like $1 million minimum, a good guaranteed to go, you know, no matter what. And a shortened season with my kid's blessing, I would go. Saying like 45 days, for like a month and a half, I would go. And
how long is the celebrity season?
It's like literally a month, dude. It's like a month and a half. That's why I know they can do it. They might have to do less players, but that might be beneficial because you're not going to get everybody anyways. So you can do less players and have a shorter season. And I think that'd be cool, but they want to get as long of a season as they can for as cheap as possible. And I don't hate them for that, but they can get a bunch of people who would do it for a pack of Snickers, you know, and they'll stay in there for 200 days because they don't realize what they're signing up for. But, you know, I would definitely do it again, although I don't. The reason why I don't talk about it a lot is I really don't see them doing it, especially with the All-Stars they just had. Like, obviously worked out great for me. My best friend won. But I don't think the ratings were that great. The reaction to the cast that was picked wasn't that great. They paid a lot of money to the players that did go, didn't really get their return on investment. So I think they're probably like, F that. We're doing all new players from now on.
But I mean, it's kind of like a chain reaction, right? If you put a lot of money out, first off, if you don't get the players you want, you call it an all-star season. Like, to me, I mean, they, as soon as I found out that there was a guy on there that got voted out first and you put him on an all-star season, I was just like, this is an all-star season.
That's what a lot of people said.
I'm just like, it's a joke.
That's what a lot of people were saying. And I agree with that. And I have no problem with that. David Alexander, no problem at all with him, but it wasn't like a second chance season. It was an all-star season. He was not an all-star on his first season. So
I can't call it an all-star season and have someone on there that didn't even make jury.
Yeah.
Didn't make it past the first week. Like there should be a certain criteria.
Yeah. I didn't get that one.
And I think that's where everyone was like, all right, I'm a bit checked out here.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. There was, you know, but I do think they were having a little bit of an issue filling out spots. There were some people who tapped out because of COVID. They got, you know, disqualified. There were some better players like Josh Martinez, Casey Clark, like good winners. that were supposed to be in this. So that's like a huge hit because Josh would have been great TV, hands down. Casey Clark is, in my opinion, the best female player to ever play Big Brother on both Canada, US. I haven't seen a girl better than her. I haven't. I think she'd beat a lot of the guys. She is an absolute animal, and she proved it on the challenge. She's just a beast. So her not being there, like, those things completely changed the dynamic of the game and who was there. But we'll see. I do think, because we're talking about Canada, way more of a chance to see BB Can All-Stars than another. We've already had two All-Stars. You guys haven't even had one yet, and you now have half as many seasons as us, almost half as many. So I do think there's an opportunity for Big Brother to say, hey, we're going to try to pump up the ratings here. You know, because I think your ratings are decent, but they're never like, they're not like blowing the charts away. So I think it's an opportunity to maybe do a boost and get some people who just cause people to gravitate towards their TV on the nights when the show's on. And I can name 16 people right now with you. We're not going to do it, but 16 people right now, that would be must watch TV.
Oh yeah. We have the people.
You definitely have them. We'll have to get it pushed.
For it.
You have a better chance at that than BB Can versus BB US. I think now. I think you have the players, and it doesn't have to be like a crazy amount of money, but I think there's an opportunity to say to those greats, like, hey, listen, we're going to pay you this amount of dollars. It's going to be a little bit shorter of a season, but you're going against the greats. And you have an opportunity to solidify your position now, or maybe even move you up. You know, if you have someone, like, I'll give you an example. John Pardee's not someone who talks about as the greatest player of all time anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's been a lot of other players. John Pardee goes in there and wins it again over Dean, over Kevin, over those players. Guess what? He's in that conversation because now he's won twice. He'll be the only two-time winner in Big Brother history. Yourself, you didn't win the first time, but a lot of people thought you were the best player on the season. You go in there and win, you're in the GOAT conversation now, like a Cody. You know what I mean? So legacies can be made and legacies can be broken on an all-star season if the right cast is there. So I think that's enticing for a lot of people too, where it's like, you go there, you didn't win the first time, you win on this cast, and you were very good your first time, you're now in that. Cody went right to the top. Cody's considered by some to be the best player of all time now. Just like that, because of how incredibly well he did against other great players. So, you know, I think that's going to be enticing for a lot of your players. Like, Kevin's a good example too. Kevin Martin, he's someone where didn't win his first time, won his second time, isn't considered the greatest of all time, but again, he wins again. He's in that convo. Same thing with Kevin Jacobs. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of players that have won. Paris, there's some people who say, oh, Paris shouldn't have won, whatever, right? Imagine she comes back and wins again over all these people. Now it's like, damn, okay, maybe she is number one. So I think that would be enticing for a lot of people to say, hey, I do think I'm the best player to ever play Big Brother. I'm going to go beat these others that you say are great just to prove it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely enticing. I think it's, some people have a lot to lose.
Yes, that's the other thing.
That's another thing. I think that's what a lot of people will take. Like someone who, you know, played their first time and gave it everything they had and either came up short or won. And then maybe they don't get the confidence that they can do it again. So they're just not going to show up because they could be like, I'm okay with doing just, I'm going to be a great player, but I don't need to be the best because I know if I lose, then they're going to knock me down to the bottom.
Stock's going down. And that happens too, right? There's a couple players that I won't be rude, but there was a couple players that I've watched the first time. They were my favorite players. They didn't win, but they were some of my favorite players I've ever watched. We're always in the conversation of like my favorite player from Big Brother, both Canada and US. And they've come back and played. I'm not going to say what season, but they've come back and played and they were not very good. And I was like, damn, this doesn't even resemble the person that I like was like fanboying over the first time. So I completely agree with you. And I think for a lot of people, that would be it. Like there's be an uphill battle for a lot of people. Like we had talked about earlier with Kevin and stuff, someone who can't necessarily go up against the best physical competitors and win. And that could be a problem because if all you have is your words and now your game is exposed, you have to completely reinvent yourself. I would have to do the same thing. So I'm not hating on Kevin at all. Like I'm self-aware enough to know, like I won some competitions, but if you're going to put me into a house with the Codys of the world, and it's a physical competition, I'm going to struggle. I'm 38 years old. I couldn't beat him when I was 30. How am I going to beat him now when I'm 38? I mean, that's just being real. I'm not dogging myself. I'm just being, that's science. It's biology, you know? So now if it's a mental comp, I smoked a lot of them in the mental comps. Throw me in some memorization comps and stuff. They might have a problem on their hands because those are the ones I won. But if we start doing vetoes where you got to hold on to something or whatever, I'm just going to be like, all right, you guys got to put me up. Do you think? I'll see you guys. I'm gonna go sip on the sideline and cheer you guys on.
it's interesting. I think everyone in some aspect will have to reinvent themselves a little bit,
right?
But again, I think a week in the house and everyone falls back in their old ways, and it's are who they are.
It's true. And now you have all these dynamics, right? Like you have people like John and Netta who dated. And they're, you know, I don't know how cool they are now, but you have that dynamic. You have you and Jill dated, very serious relationship after Big Brother. Like you guys have both moved on. She's married as well, right?
Yeah, married.
So I mean,
not married, but kids. Yeah,
so kids. So like, what would that dynamic be like? Are you guys gonna work together? Are you gonna what's gonna happen?
I think she cut me. For sure. I love her. She's amazing, but I think she got me for sure. I couldn't trust a word she said.
But see how entertaining is this to think about it?
Yeah.
You know, and then there's all the dynamics like every Big Brother, you know, whether it's Canada or US, where there's things that happen outside the house that get carried into the house. You know, what are those, you know, conversations?
You can kind of see like some people when like Big Brother are getting, you know, there's like get togethers, like again for finale weekend, you can see people like if you look around, you're like, some people have the intention of like making certain relationships and hoping that they will go back someday and be like, hey, remember that chat we had, you know?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It's a real thing that's happening, you know what I mean? It's people with hopes, because there are the rumor mills going around that next year might be the year.
But Big Brother politics, and you know Peter Brown's at the head of all that. He's making moves with everybody. Peter, if you're watching, we see you, bro. We know you're out there. Like, you got 7 alliances already going. Like, everybody's a part of the Shield now going in there. Hey, remember?
He's definitely.
That's why he plans all these events. He's like, remember? I get you that better hotel room.
We're gonna be in there, and he's like, you ever want to come run these events again? You're not gonna put me up.
He's like, trust me, just so you guys know, if I go home early, I'm the one planning this. And if you guys want to be invited to the club for VIP, I would rethink that jury vote. No, I love Peter. Peter's great.
Yeah.
He does a lot for the Big Brother community. He always has. He's great. I'm excited. Congratulations to Kevin Jacobs. I'm actually going to have him. We're doing an interview next week with him. He's taking a couple weeks out of work. I DM'd him, slid into Kevin's DMs. He's down to come on the winner's circle and kind of break down his game. So I'm looking forward to that. Definitely get his opinion on All-Stars. Would he come back? All those things. I know he just got out of the house, but it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about the game now that he's had a few weeks to kind of digest it and hear what's being said about him and how he's processed his win and what he thinks of his game. Does he think he played as well as a lot of others think he played? It'd be really interesting to hear from him.
Yeah, I think he executed, you know, pretty well. He talked a big game in the beginning, and you know, I think if he looks back, he kind of followed through with it. So
yeah,
I think if he looks back, I don't think he'd have anything to be like, oh, I wish I did this or I wish I did that. I think he did really well. So
yeah,
it'll be a fun chat. I'll be tuned in to watch that.
He'll kill it. And where can people find you, Emmett? I know you got Instagram. I know you got Twitter. Where can they find you? What's your handles?
Yeah, just my first and last name, Emmett Blois, on Twitter and Instagram. So
go check him out. B-L-O-I-S, right?
B-L-O-I-S. You got it, buddy.
Yeah, check it out.
M-M-E-T-T.
Yep, Emmett, not with the I.
Two T's. That's right.
Yes, check him out. And you definitely got to go watch that clip I told you guys about earlier, because the best part is you got Emmett in the background. I believe you had your cowboy hat on, and you're like the biggest ass ever, because you're like, yeah, don't let him change that vote. Woo! You were like the biggest, like you were that guy where you were just like, loved it. Like that, like Topaz's life was ruined in that moment. Gary's about to lose. And you're like, that away. You're like, nope, can't change it. It's locked in. You were in the background the whole time. It was amazing.
I was younger then.
That was a day. Listen, Emmett, we appreciate you joining us here in the Winner's Circle. Guys, appreciate you joining us here on the Winner's Circle. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure your notifications are turned on. If you're a BB Can fan, we're going to have Kevin Jacobs sometime next week. I'll try to get that audio and video out right away. Cody should be back pretty soon. Well, can't say too much, but he will be back. He's still alive. He's doing well. And then also, don't forget, we still have Big Brother 24 coming up. They're doing the casting right now. Tiffany is going to be back with us for that season. We got some plans with her. So make sure, again, you're liking, commenting, subscribing. It really helps the channel. We appreciate you guys joining us here on the Winner's Circle. We will see you next week.